By using certain breathing exercises, one can cause palpation of the Ida, and so awaken certain dormant centers. It is not proposed to give that special breathing exercise, although others are given at the end of this dictionary. To give this particular exercise might be to cause harm to someone who read and rushed without knowing what it was all about. One has to remember that many people will go into a library, pick up a book, and just copy out a paragraph or two to save the price of a book, and to protect those people who are trying to run before they can walk, such an exercise must be omitted. Ignorance. Ignorance is lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, and if we were not so foolishly ignorant, we should not have so many troubles. The ignorant person does not know enough to know that he does not know. Perhaps the best way to explain it is, he that knows not and knows not that he knows not, he is a fool, shun him. He that knows not and knows that he knows not, he is teachable, teach him. He that knows and knows that he knows, he is wise, follow him. Illusion. This particular planet is called on other planes the world of illusion, the world where one's senses deceive one, the world where things are very different from what they seem. People on the other side think of those on the earth as being afraid to go to hell. Well, earth is one of the hells. It is where we get the hell of physical experience and the hell of illusions. We look upon this world which we call the earth, and we think it is the most wonderful thing ever. We think the whole universe and universes beyond were made specially and exclusively for this earth. We think we are the only creatures alive in space. We think that millions and billions, and trillions of other worlds are empty, desolate, just put up there as a peep show for mankind. We think that we are godlike creatures, the like of which has never been seen before and will never be seen again. That is illusion. Earth is a speck of dust and no more. Earth is one of the smaller specks of dirt in the sky. We think, while we are on this earth, that we are great and powerful. We think that our riches will buy the kingdom of heaven. But there is no bargain basement beyond this earth. We cannot get salvation at cut rates. We have to get rid of illusion and get down to the true meaning of things. We have to get rid of selfishness and lust. We have to get rid of our callous disregard for the other person. Until we are ready to give of ourselves, we cannot receive of others. It is an illusion to think that we can. Imagination. Imagination is the picturing of one's desires or one's fears. And imagination is the greatest force of all, greater than willpower, greater than love. It is an old law of psychologists that in any battle between the will and imagination, the imagination always wins, and if we try to conquer imagination by brute willpower, then we cause a neurotic condition. The imagination still wins because the imagination causes a breakdown, so that the imagination must conquer. There cannot be love without imagination. One imagines the charms of one's beloved, or one imagines that one has met one's twin soul, as rare as apples on a gooseberry bush while on earth. And one imagines all the pleasures with love undying of being married to such and such a person. In passing, it needs rather more than just animal passion to keep two people in harmony. If the imagination says that one shall not do such and such a thing, then, no matter how strong the will, a person cannot do it. Could you, for instance, walk along a plank suspended across the tops of two 10-story buildings? No matter how strongly the plank was anchored, your overworked imagination would say that you were going to fall, and then you would fall, to the delight of the onlookers and to the profit of the press, who would be sure to be there. If you want to get results, you will have to control your imagination so that it and friend willpower work together in harmony. Incarnation. Homo sapiens, who so often lacks the latter, is just one method of enabling an over-self to gain experience. There are people on an enormous number of planets, as is now being recognized by reputable scientists all over the world. Some of them are trying to tune in on radio messages from other worlds, and even as long ago as the beginning of the century, a very famous man, Nikola Tesla, who was one of the inventors of the radio tube or valve, depending on whether you are in the USA or England, reported that he had received signals from another planet. Marconi reported the same, But these two eminent gentlemen were such objects of ridicule that they dropped research like a hot potato, a very hot potato. But now the US government and the USSR government are doing everything possible to initiate success. Possibly the communists want to convert a few more planets to communism. People come to this Earth to gain experience of a special kind. According to some teachings, Earth is hell. A person comes to Earth in order to have sharp experiences which can be analyzed by the overself, and which the overself could not gain in such a short time. People come to Earth time after time working through every sign of the zodiac, and working through each of the quadrants of the zodiac, in much the same way as a student at a college takes various courses of instruction in order to get a balanced knowledge. Thus a person can become Aries in one life, and the opposite sign in the next life. In succeeding incarnations the poor soul can go through all the houses or signs of the zodiac, and each quadrant of each sign, and thus gain complete experience of all the unpleasant happenings which occur to humans. When one has learned, and not had any great desire to come back to this earth, then the person is rid of incarnations on this earth plane. After, when one leaves as when one leaves school, one takes up the work for which one has been trained. Indriyas, more correctly, it should be the 10 indriyas because there are 10 organs in the body by which the overself can gain various specialized information. There are the organs of perceptions, the organs of hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch, and the organs of more direct action which are the organs of excretion, generation, propulsion, feet, touch, hands, and taste, tongue. Each of these organs relays back through the spinal cord and up into the brain everything that is happening. The information is broadcast to the overself, who thus is in touch with everything that is happening and becomes aware of every sensation. When this relay system breaks down, we can see the results in a mental home when we look at catatonic patients. Intuition, a process under which the physical body is given a glimpse of something which normally in the physical body could not be known. For example, a person can be standing on a sidewalk, and can then have a sudden flash of intuition that a chimney pot or a slate is going to fall on his head. The man cannot see the chimney pot, and cannot hear it either, but he usually looks up in time to see the thing before it hits him. When people will believe in intuition, and give it train to develop and blossom forth, it can be a very useful thing indeed. Actually, the overself who is not yet ready to have the body damaged, can give a preliminary warning of a danger to come and thus to be avoided. When one gets an impression that a person is near, when a person is perhaps within 6 or 7 feet, it does not mean that that is intuition. It just means that either telepathy or impinging or auric emanations is taking place. It is often stated that women have greater intuition than men, and if you will look at some of the illustrations in you, forever you will observe that a woman's etheric and aura have a rather different shape to that of a man, and so it gives them spiritual consolation. Presumably in the latter case they hope greater intuition. Ishvara Koti, this is an inferior type of avatar. The person who comes to this earth for the good of others, and who is normally free of the bonds of the earth and thus has no earth karma, may be an Ishvara Koti. If he or she is dealing with individuals on a minor scale, then it will be an Ishvara Koti. An avatar is very much more evolved and does not necessarily come from this universe at all, nor from the next or the one after that. An avatar is one who teaches and restores to present day requirements ancient teachings. Ishvara, some people use this word as meaning, or indicating, God. This is particularly so among the Brahmins. The actual meaning is divine willer, the supreme giver. It is a perfect being who has compassion for struggling humanity because the being has worked through all the rounds of existence and knows how difficult it can be, and having suffered the being has sympathy and understanding. J. Jagrat, this refers to the waking state. Being awake in the body as opposed to being asleep in the body. Being in a condition where one is aware of that which is occurring about one, where one is able to see, to hear, to speak, to feel, etc. People are aware during the daytime, they know what is going on about them, they are able to attend to their business. But most people are not aware during their sleep, and it is necessary to be so aware before one can consciously do astral traveling, because the physical body must have rest, but the astral does not require rest, not for a few thousand years anyway. And thus if the physical body is resting and the astral body is just held captive, or wandering unguided in the wilderness, there is much waste of opportunity. Japa, a word which means repetition. It has nothing at all to do with meditation, but merely indicates that one repeats a word with the idea that perhaps one can get help from other sources. Sometimes they can. In Tibet people used to go about mumbling, Om, 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 and sometimes twirling a prayer wheel. In India people will say, Ram, 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 when they are sore afraid or in need of that Rama, whom they often consider to be a god, will come rushing to their help. In much the same way, in parts of Europe, people will call upon their own god time after time. That is Japa. Jati, this is one's personal status in the physical world. How are you? Are you rich, poor, healthy, or ill? Jati refers solely to one's material status, and must not be confused with the spiritual standards. It must also be stated that sadly enough those who are richest in material things are frequently quite impoverished in spiritual matters. Jen, this is a word from the Chinese. It means the art of one's fellow man. It means being charitable and having benevolent feelings towards one's fellow man. Jen is the basis of the teachings of Confucius. Jiva, a name for the individual living unit, complete with body, mind, various senses, and all that which makes up one human being. Usually this unit, this human being, is not aware of its purpose here on earth, and it experiences birth, pleasure, pain, death, and all that which makes up life on earth. Frequently it rails at the unkind fate which sent it down to earth. Well, I didn't ask to be born, did I? Unknowing the reason and unprepared to learn that which has to be learned. If people knew how simple it is to die, if they knew that no one is ever discarded, no one is ever fried eternally, then perhaps they would think, oh, I will have a good time in this life, I can easily come back and clear up the mess in the next life. Thus, they have to drink of the waters of Lethe, so that the memory of past lives is swept away, because not until they have reached a certain stage can they know Jnana, this is knowledge. Awareness of life beyond the life of the world. It is knowledge of the overself, knowledge of why one comes to the earth, what one has to learn, and how one has to learn it. It is the knowledge that although an earth life may be a terrible, terrible experience, yet it is just the twinkling of an eye in the time of the greater life. For consolation while we are down here. Jnani, this is a person who knows, a person who follows the road of knowledge. One who tries to reach to the greater reality and to escape from the shackles and pains of life on earth. A person who can approach this stage is indeed approaching liberation or Buddhahood. K. Kaivalya, upon this earth most people are unaware of what they were in a past life, unaware of why they have come back to this earth. People say, oh, we only have one life, let's make the most of it. These are blind people. Blind spiritually, blind mentally. When they have reached the state of Kaivalya they will be aware of what awaits them on the other side of that which is called death. That word, Kaivalya, means liberation from the blindness and the follies of the world. Kama, this is desire, a craving. It is a memory of the pleasures and the pains previously experienced. Often these memories are the causes of habits such as smoking or drinking. A person smokes because of some pleasure imagined in connection with smoking, or because you have to be a smoker to be grown up. If people could only remember how sick they were the first time they smoked, they wouldn't do it. People who drink intoxicants, well, it's a great pity, it's a stupid idea, in fact, because intoxicants drive one's astral body out of one's physical, and I don't blame the astral for getting out of such a stench as that left by stale spirits. Karma, this is an old law by which many people of the Eastern world regulate their lives. It is a very good law provided it is used in a common sense manner. You go to a shop and you buy a lot of goods. If you are lucky, you can have them on the bill, but you have bought your goods and they have to be paid for some time. You do not get them free. You go through life and life after life doing things of which, in the still small hours of the morning, you regret, things of which you are ashamed when you are alone and can think about it. You do things which can harm another person. Well, it's a pity, because as you sow, so shall you reap. In the same way, one should do kindnesses to others. Throw your bread upon the waters and it shall return to you. Unfortunately, when it returns it may be a bit soggy. But that's not the idea. Do good to others. The more good you do, the more good has to be done to you. If you come to earth and you have a miserable time, it means that you are being paid back for giving other people a miserable time in another life. And when you get to that happy stage that you are living your last life on earth, then you certainly will have a miserable time, because you have to clear up all debts. Just as when you are ready to move to another district, you rush around to the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, or should do if you are honest, and you pay what you owe. If you are an optimist, you try to collect money which is owing to you, but that is a different matter. The law of karma states that, do as you would be done by, because you have to pay back good as well as bad. It is my personal belief that too rigid an adherence to the law of incarnation and the law of karma may have been responsible for the degeneration of India and China, because in India as well as in China, people used to sit beneath the trees and say, "Ah, so what? I have plenty more lives in front of me, let me sit like Ferdinand the Bull and smell the flowers in this life." So it led to slothfulness. As for China, I have actually seen this. A man fell in a river and definitely was drowning. None of the Chinese were remotely interested. They were asked afterwards why they had done nothing to save the drowning man. Their answer was to the effect that if they had saved that man from his karma, they would have had his karma to deal with as well as their own. So, too rigid an adherence makes for apparent callousness. One has to take the good old Buddhist way. Not too bad or the police get after you, and not too good, impossible on this earth. Or you are too pure to stay here. The middle way in all things. Klesha, actually there are five kleshas, because these are the names of the five main things which cause people trouble, cause people to come back to earth time after time until they haven't any more kleshas. Klesha number one, ignorance. And from ignorance there is conceit. If one has ignorance and conceit, one is not able to perceive the faults within one and so eliminate them. Desire of the wrong sort is another of the things which has to be avoided. Do you covet those things which you should not covet? Then you'd better look out, it's holding up your progress. Aversion is another definite trouble. Aversion makes it difficult for one to get on with another person. It makes one the square peg in the round hole. Or is it the round peg in the square hole? It doesn't matter which, one is as bad as the other. One has to adopt the middle way, and not fall in love too often, but not hate people for too long. Possessiveness is the fifth trouble. We might call people stingy, misers, grabbles, Scrooges. They are a miserable crowd anyhow, and until a person gets rid of possessiveness, that person is not able to acquire, because, to repeat an old story, one cannot receive until one is ready to give. The kleshas are the things which one must eradicate before one can break free of the round of birth, living, dying, rebirth. Knowledge? Do I need to explain what knowledge is? I think I do. We have to have three things before we can have knowledge. First, we must have inference. We must become aware of something. Because until we are aware of a thing, we cannot perceive its presence or its existence. Secondly, we must have reliable information, because until we have reliable information to support that which we infer, we are not even starting to obtain knowledge. Thirdly, we must have a form of intuition, so that we may understand that which lies behind the matter which we have inferred and about which we have obtained reliable information. We have to have this intuition so that we may understand different aspects of which we desire to know about. Koan, this is a word from Zen Buddhism. People of the West often cannot make any sense out of a cone, because it is a peculiar statement which apparently is without any logic and which has no sense whatever. But the student has to meditate upon it and supply a suitable answer. No easy answer is possible, but when an answer does come to one, then it is usually as sudden as a burst of thunder. The answer comes as a revelation. As a mild example, let me say this as a specimen of a cone: the gramophone record and the gramophone needle can produce music. Listen to the music of the record without the needle. It is like trying to compare the abstract with the concrete, or trying to discuss a three-dimensional matter with a person who lives in one dimension. Kosher. This is a covering or sheath. Sometimes it is termed a container. There are five koshers described in certain Upanishads. These are located each within the other. The inner one is the body which is fed by food, that is, the physical body, and if you want the Eastern name for it, it is Animaikosha. The second is the body of prana, and this is the part which keeps mind and body together. The Eastern name for it? Pranamaikosha. Third, we have the sheath of the mind which has the sense impressions. This contains the higher and lower minds. The Eastern word is Manamaikosha. Fourth is the sheath, or body, of intellect or wisdom. This is the start of the body, and the Eastern name for this fourth kosha is Vijnanamaikosha. The fifth kosha is the body of bliss, and which often is referred to as the ego. It is a sheath of joy, and the Eastern name is Anandamaikosha. Kao. This is a Chinese word which means the study, or investigation, of occult matters, and the rectification of misunderstandings which have occurred in previous studies. Kriya Yoga. This is a branch of yoga which has three sections. The first section enables one to control the body and the functions of the body. The second section gives one the ability to study mental things and to develop the memory so that one is able to obtain from the subconscious all that which one has previously learned. The third gives one a desire to be attentive to one's spiritual requirements. It gives one an incentive to put aside the things of the flesh, and to progress through spirituality rather than through one's bank balance. By devoting oneself to Kriya, one can subdue the kleshas which are the bane of human life. Karmarga. This is a special form of breathing, a special method or pattern of breathing. It is the retention of the breath between breathing in and breathing out, and much benefit can be obtained from practicing according to certain fixed rules. At the end of this dictionary there will be a section devoted to different breathing exercises, so it is hoped that you will manage to keep breathing until you have read the words which come between this and that later section. Kundalini. This is a life force. It is the life force of the body. Just as a car cannot run without having electricity to fire the mixture in the cylinders, so humans cannot live in the body without the life force of Kundalini. In Eastern mythology, the Kundalini is likened to the image of a serpent coiled up below the base of the spine. As this special force is released, or awakened, it surges up through the different chakras and makes a person aware of esoteric things. It awakens clairvoyance, telepathy, and psychometry, and enables one to live between two worlds, moving from one to the other at will without inconvenience. The Kundalini is a dangerous thing indeed, and one should not try to awaken the Kundalini without absolutely adequate supervision from an adept. You cannot do it by reading a book. If you meddle about and awaken your Kundalini the wrong way, it can lead to madness. It is one of the most dangerous things in this world to try to raise the Kundalini without knowing what you are doing. The average human is only 1/10 conscious. Perhaps, actually, that flatters the average human. The point is that if one can raise the Kundalini, one becomes very much more conscious, one can dominate others. But when one has raised the Kundalini, one loses the desire to dominate others for self-gain. People wonder where exactly is the Kundalini, where is it the base of the spine? The Kundalini force actually starts midway between the organ of generation and the organ of excretion. Now, having given you that information, it is suggested that you do not try experiments with the Kundalini unless you have a real guru who can help you, and you must have utter faith in that guru. If you have no guru for the moment, remember, when the student is ready the guru will appear, but the guru knows, and the student does not know, when the student is ready. The Bible story of Adam and Eve, complete with serpent and apple, is merely the story of Eve having her kundalini awakened. The serpent tempted Eve, and Eve suggested naughty things to Adam, who certainly learned fast, and took a hearty bite of the apple of knowledge. Now look at what happened to all us poor humans since. Do you get it? Eve, the mother of all living, the same as now Mary, is a more or less general term for woman throughout the world. The serpent is the serpent force of the kundalini, and the apple is the fruit of knowledge. So you don't meddle with the kundalini, or it will bite your brains. Katastha, this is the self, the true over-self, that part of one which stands above all the changing items of the world. This is the part of one which enables one to feel friendship for those who would do one ill. You can imagine that this Katastha is the one who stands above and looks down and supervises your actions. You can regard it as the guardian angel which is always watching to see what you are doing. Katastha is that which stands beyond all illusions, that which cannot be deceived or misled. It is what you have to become eventually. L, lamp, to the Easterner a lamp is very similar to a life. A lamp is lit, the flame flickers for a brief period, then when the fuel is exhausted the flame subsides and dies, and there is perhaps a slight trail of smoke from the still smoldering wick. A lamp is often used in Eastern teachings to symbolize the flame of life, to symbolize the impermanence of existence on earth, and to symbolize also that we, by that life on earth, should bring a little illumination to others around us. An advanced Easterner is often likened to a lamp standing in a draft-free atmosphere where there are no turbulent currents of air to make the flame flicker. It is also frequently stated in the Far East that it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, meaning that even the little flicker of a candle is better than no light. So every one of us, no matter how new we are upon the path of spirituality, can contribute something toward the evolution of mankind by showing the light of our spirituality, so that those who attempt to follow our own examples may find their footsteps so guided by the illumination which our own conduct, and our own spirituality, can provide. It is worth remembering that the so-called suicide gestures of the Buddhist monks who drench themselves in petrol and then ignite the fumes, are again obeying an old Buddhist dictum which is to the effect that it is better to extinguish the flame of life than to have the flame of the spirit sullied and debased. So the Buddhist monk or nun who burns to death as a human lamp believes that in so doing he or she is making a noble gesture of protest against evil tamperings with the rights of mankind to believe as one will and to worship as one will. In writing my books, which are true books, all that I have written is true and is my own personal experience, but that is by the way, let me repeat that in writing my books, particularly in writing you, forever and this book, I am using as my motto I light a candle in the hope that even this feeble flicker may prove a help and guide to those who know not which way to turn. Law, this is most frequently referred to as the Noble Eightfold Path. It is a complete code of living, a set of rules whereby people can live according to the golden rule of do as you would be done by. By following the law one can attain to a Buddhist state in much the same way as a Christian, following the Ten Commandments, can progress spiritually. Naturally, as well as the Noble Eightfold Path, or the law which refers to it, there are other laws, the laws of nature, the laws of life itself. These cannot be disregarded, because the laws of nature determine what sort of body a man or a woman shall have, and the laws of life tell one that one has to follow certain rules that the physical body may continue until its task upon this earth is accomplished. It is a fact that all laws of man are made for man. Laws are made to govern the multitude, the mass of people who otherwise have no yardstick, no guidance, and have not yet attained to the position where they can live according to higher laws. One must remember that when one is dealing with an avatar, one here deals with a person who is not subject to the laws of the world, because he has progressed so that he can follow instead the laws of the universe, or of the universe beyond. La, The Kundalini, which as we have seen, is also called the serpent force, lies below the base of the spine ready to be raised, and to enable a person to flower into awareness of psychic matters. La Yoga is a system of yoga which specializes in the raising of the Kundalini.